Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Isn't it interesting? They throw the healthy eating thing in there right in the middle of the holidays. That's just not right, is it? I'll tell you what, that'll be an awesome class, though. It really will. There's a lot of good things that'll be related in that class. So I encourage you, if that's something that's appealing to you or something that would be interesting to you, make sure you sign up for that. It really be awesome. There's a bulletin out. A new bulletin is out as well. Make sure you grab those on your way out. It gives you all those different things. If you don't remember any of that, just go to the church website, lifeatvictory.com, and it'll give you all the information of all those things. But again, Christmas Eve. Candlelight services tomorrow, 3, 4:30, and 6. 3, 4:30, and 6. And again, Pastor John should be here for that, so make sure you come out. Well, this weekend we're going to talk about peace and kind of staying with what the theme that Pastor John had laid out for the weekend. And then we're going to talk about Jesus as the Prince of Peace. So you'll see the first scripture here from Isaiah. And this is a Christmas card scripture, Isaiah 9:6. You've probably seen it multiple times, but take a look at this. There you go. For to us, or unto us, a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And there's a lot of different attributes about God in there, but notice there at the beginning of the scripture it says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. I don't know about you, but I am very grateful that a son was given. Okay, a child was born. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, but the Son was given. He was given to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He was given to us, given to you, and given to me. And praise God for that gift, that it's a gift that we receive. Man, especially this time of year, it's Christmas time, right? We're celebrating the birth of that child, the birth of the Son of God. And that's a gift that's given to you and given to me. But as you look there at the bottom, it talks about the Prince of Peace. And we're going to focus about peace today. You know, again, it's the holiday season. And how many of you know, especially culturally today, it's gotten pretty crazy as far as just all the things that goes on around this time of year. And sometimes peace is the last thing you experience. Isn't that right? I mean, you're scrambling around, you're buying stuff, getting things ready. You may have family things going on, all kinds of family and all that different types of stuff. Now, we've always lived away from our family, hours and hours away from our family. And so for us as a family, I mean our immediate family, me, myself, and I. That didn't come out quite right, did it? Me, my wife. And our three children, you know, it's kind of, we've created some family tradition things and stuff because we've always been away from our family. Now, for some of you, you know, your family's all around you all year long. That's a good thing or a bad thing, right? You may be praying for deliverance in the next few days, okay? Sometimes peace is the last thing you experience throughout this. But you know what? Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace. And so we should experience peace. But I mean, you know, man, in our world today, there's all kinds of things that come and all kinds of things that happen. And man, peace can be pretty fleeting. It can be pretty hard to grab a hold of because of all the things that are taking place. Now look at this list here on the screen here, the next slide here. Look at this list. Be anxious, fret, be concerned, be troubled, agonize, lose sleep, be bothered, concern, apprehension, anxiety, fear, care, uneasiness, disquiet, discomfort, unease, nervousness. Well, now that's an encouraging slide, isn't it? How many of you, just read that and you think, man, I'm so glad I came to church today to be encouraged with all those thoughts. But how many of you know, if you're not careful, rather than experiencing Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that's what you get. You're anxious, you're agonizing over things, you're having to navigate stuff, you're having to do things. And again, whether that can be family, relationship stuff, bills, paying for things, all kinds of expectations attached to stuff. And the last thing you experience is peace. It's more of this. But how many of you know Jesus is the Prince of Peace? And we should be experiencing peace, not just at Christmas time, not just on a Christmas card, but every day of our lives. Every day. Look at the next slide here. What do these things do to us? What do they steal from us? It steals our peace, undermines our confidence, consumes our thoughts, steals your energy, and paralyzes you. If you're not careful, you'll focus on those things. Those things will impact you and focus on you. And man, they steal from you. They paralyze you. You're captivated by those things. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He didn't quit being the Prince of Peace just because we're having a bad day or just because we're having a bad season, bad year, bad whatever. Okay? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So what does that mean to you and I every day? Not just at holiday time. How do you know real life? You know, you may be off now. Maybe you've had a number of days. I know lots of people, they're able to set it aside where they're able to be off multiple days. Now, if you're in retail, God bless you. Because you're working like a dog 400 hours. In fact, you're probably not even at church right now because the stores are all open, right? You're probably working all kinds of hours and things like this, which is just wrong. It's crazy how that has become a part of our society. I mean, multiple stores have already announced they're going to be open Thanksgiving Day next year. Isn't that crazy? Think about that. So forget about the midnight or the 10 o'clock or the 8 o'clock at night. We're talking during the day, Thanksgiving, to kick off the shopping. That's just wrong. So if you're in retail or in that type of field, you're not experiencing a whole lot of peace. You're having to put up with all of us fools that are going shopping, right? You ever encounter people at the checkout? You know, they're not at peace. Right? And your fellow shoppers as you're standing in line. How many of you know they're not at peace? Okay? But we should be experiencing peace in our lives. We should be, but it can be very fleeting if you're not careful. But we should be able to walk in because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But real life kicks in. So again, you may be off. You may be, boy, holidays are awesome. I'm able to take some time off, relax, not do anything. It's just low key and blah, blah, blah. But how many of you know work's coming? You're going to go back to work and, oh, God, it's Monday. It's this. It's that. Because real life sets in. You know one of the biggest challenges for newlywed couples? You know what one of those huge challenges is? The honeymoon period wears off. How many of you know you come home from the honeymoon? And you got to take out the trash. You got to clean the toilets. You got to get up in the morning and go to work. Real life sets in, does it not? And in the dating and the romance, I'm in love. She's the most awesome thing in the world. It's just, you just, then all of a sudden, 3, 4, 5 weeks. You know what? I've had people that, I've met with people who needed counseling after the honeymoon. Shouldn't quite wear off that fast, okay? But I have. That's not an illustration. That's true. I mean, they're calling for help. Bless God, we're on our honeymoon. We're about ready to kill each other right now. Honeymoon. You're calling the preacher for your honeymoon. All right. But life shouldn't do that to us. Just because real life is going to kick in here whenever you go back to work, whenever you go, just because real life is coming, you know what? Jesus is still a Prince of Peace. He still should be peace to you. So how does this peace come to us? It's really in two realms, all right? And you'll see the first slide up here in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, 1, it says, because Jesus has brought peace to us. Look at the scripture here. It's probably familiar to you. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Again, the Prince of Peace brings us peace. It's in two different realms. The first is, it's between me and God. Did you know God is at peace with you right now? Now, you may not be experiencing that. You may not be feeling that, may not even be aware of that. You may have come into this room, man, your relatives may have brought you here, forced you to come. Bless God, I got to go to church with them. Although they bribed you with food, or they just forced you. Okay, you may not be experiencing a whole lot of peace, but do you know God's not mad at you today? Do you know that? Did you know that judgment was placed on Jesus, and He actually justified you? Which I'll explain that word in just a moment. But He actually justified you. So you actually, sitting in this room right now, doesn't matter if you have a relationship with God or not. Did you know that God's at peace with you? Right now, He's at peace with you. Knowing exactly what you did last night, what you did yesterday, what you did a month ago, what you're going to do tomorrow. Well, it's Christmas Eve. Surely you'll make it through tomorrow. Christmas Day. He knows all those things, but you know what? He's still at peace with you. You know why? Because that peace is through Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Okay, so that's something that doesn't change. So the first thing purchased for us is peace with God. Praise God, we have peace with God. We have peace with Him. The word justified there, it's a big Bible word, justification. It's what it's tied to. Justified by faith, justified. It's a very simple thing, though. It just simply means to be declared right, to be declared righteous. Justified, just as if I had never sinned. Justified, justification, just as if I had never sinned. Easy way to remember. So literally, through Jesus, God pointed at you and said, you're right. He declared you right. All of us. All of mankind has been declared right because of Jesus. Now, what messes us up is we let our religious thinking or our own human natural thinking kick in. And what we begin to think is we equate that to us. All right, we equate it. Wait, that can't be right because, I ain't been doing too good. There's no way God's happy with me. You know what? God's happy with you. God loves you so much He sent His Son Jesus to die for you to declare you right. It doesn't matter what you did last week, last month, what you're going to do, because it doesn't rest with you. That's the awesome thing about salvation. It does not rest on how good I've been, how bad I've been. Because how many of you know you can't be good enough? It's impossible. You can try, you can give it a shot, but nobody can do that. It's physically impossible, mentally impossible, spiritually impossible. You can't be good enough. Can't do enough good works, can't do enough good deeds, can't give enough, can't do whatever, can't serve enough, can't be good enough. It's impossible. Jesus, by His work, allowed God the Father to go, they're justified. It's all by the finished work of Jesus. We've been declared right. So you actually are right before God this morning. You have right standing before Him. And what does that bring to you? It brings you peace. That's what it says in the Scripture. You have peace with God. God is not your enemy. God's not mad at you. He's not out to get you. Doesn't matter, again, what you've done or what you're going to do. God is at peace with you. And it's all because of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I didn't put the Scripture in there, but just a real quick thought about this, because righteousness is such an important Bible topic, because it talks about our right standing with God, our access to God, our ability to stand before God without a sense of guilt, without a sense of fear, anxiety, inferiority, anything. It's our ability to stand before God, where literally you can just walk right up to God and say, hey, God, how's it going? You know why you can do that? Because you've got the right to be there. You were declared right. Jesus made you right. Not because you're this awesome person, because Jesus made you right. That's so important to remember. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this. It says, God made Jesus, made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God the Father made Jesus sin who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So in Christ Jesus, through Him, I'm made the very righteousness of God. Now think about that just for a second, because it'll kind of mess with your head a little bit here. Whose righteousness is that Scripture talking about? And you see, preachers do this to you. They set you up because nobody wants to feel stupid in church, right? But it's not a trick question. God made Him to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Whose righteousness is it talking about? God's righteousness. Not my righteousness, God's righteousness. Let me ask you a question. How righteous is God? You can't really answer the question, can you? Because He is righteousness. So that's the righteousness I've been made. I've been made God's righteousness through Christ Jesus. That brings peace between me and God because I'm right. So I can come right up to God and fellowship with Him and talk to Him. Why? Because He sees me through the lens of Jesus, so to speak. I'm washed in that blood. I have been made right before Him. Doesn't matter what I've done. Doesn't matter what's going on in my life. He sees me as right. He declared me as right. So the first thing the Prince of Peace brings to me is He brings me peace with God. He brings me peace with God. Doesn't matter. I don't care who you are in this room today. If you don't have that peace, you can leave here knowing that peace. Not just a Christmas thing. It can be an everyday, week in and week out, peace that follows you and is a part of your life every single day. You know why? Jesus died to give you that peace. Jesus died to give you that peace. It's yours. Everybody's already been declared right. All you got to do is receive the gift. God so loved the world that He gave. All I got to do is just open the present. How many of you know on Christmas Day or however your family does it, some families open gifts on Christmas Eve, some Christmas Day, etc. However you do it, how many of you know you're not going to leave those presents unwrapped, do you? You open them. So I don't care who you are in this room today, you can leave here, you unwrap that gift, you can have that peace. Because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, bought it for you. Now, how that translated into my everyday life, how that translated to me each and every day is tied to this next scripture. Look at Isaiah 32 here. It's the next slide. Isaiah 32. It says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. The work of righteousness. So the work of righteousness that Jesus gives to me is what? It gives me peace, peace with God. But look at the second part. It says, the effect of righteousness, the work of righteousness is peace. The effect of that right standing with God, the effect of that righteousness in my life is quietness and assurance forever. The word assurance could also be translated security, peace. So the work of righteousness brings me peace. The effect in my life should be quietness and assurance forever. So two realms. Number one is between me and God, but how many of you know it's a whole lot more than that? The Prince of Peace also gives me the ability for that righteousness, that right standing that He purchased for me, that peace to equate into my everyday life. You literally can walk in the Prince of Peace every day, not just on the Christmas card. Not just this time of year as you sing carols and everybody feels all warm and fuzzy, but boy, real life is coming, doesn't it? But I can have peace, the Prince of Peace, each and every day. So the work of righteousness is peace. The effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance. Quietness, security, peace, each and every day of my life. And I want to encourage you, you know what, man, especially again, this time of year, so many things can be going on. And it's so easy to get pulled in so many different directions. And all the different things that come with the holidays, I want to encourage you, you can have peace. And that peace isn't just for today. It's each and every day of your life. You can get up and you can have peace that surpasses anything you could possibly imagine. You know why? Because it doesn't come from you. It comes from Him. It's all because I've been declared right. The work of righteousness brings me peace. The effect of that is quietness, assurance, peace in my life, security in my life. Now, how do I do that? How do I navigate that? Look at the next scripture here from Philippians. And we'll go through this pretty quickly here. But Philippians 4:6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. Now, leave that up there just for a moment. Let's just go through that real quick. And we'll talk about this in greater detail, especially the first part here in a minute. But don't worry about anything. How many of you know it's awesome to be able to read that scripture and all that kind of stuff and to be able to say that out loud? How many of you know it's something totally different to live it? Don't worry about anything. I mean, we've all met people. In fact, you may be one of them. Or maybe you've got family members. Again, we're talking about the holidays, families everywhere, right? And you may have some of those professional worriers in your house. And they'll just simply say, I can't help myself. I just worry about this. I worry about this. I worry about that. Blah, 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 blah. I'm there worrying about everything. And man, if you watch enough news or watch news and what things, man, you'll worry about all kinds of stuff. Because everything's bad. True? And it can push you over the edge if you're not careful. All right, you can get so consumed with different things. But we're told right there, don't worry about anything. So if I'm told that in Scripture, that means I can do it. You know that, right? How do I do that? How do I walk out at every day so I can have the Prince of Peace every day? I can have that in everyday life, every situation, every circumstance. Number one, don't worry about anything. Instead, do what? Pray about everything. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about us. We shift our focus. How many of you know if you're worrying about things, it grasps your attention? If I'm worrying about something, I'm focused on it. It begins to consume my thoughts. You know, the number one battle is right here. It's right here in your head. It's in the thoughts that go zinging around in here. Anybody ever have all those thoughts? That goes zinging around. You'll hear something. People will say something. You see something. Maybe again, something happens and you're in the middle of something. Boy, those thoughts, man, they can start zinging, can't they? They can go off in a real big hurry. But don't worry about anything. Don't worry. Man, that's hard. But it says, don't worry. Instead, pray about everything. Pray. You know what that forces you to do? It forces you to change your focus. Wait a minute. I'm not going to worry. Want to worry? I've been worrying. I'm going to stop worrying. And I'm going to pray about this. You know that's a conscious choice you make. And it's really that simple. Nope, not going to do it. I've been doing it. God, I'm sorry I've been doing that. Forgive me for worrying. I know I'm not supposed to worry. I've been kind of stinking it up in that department. I apologize. You know you can talk to God, right? Do you know God knows you in a very real and personal way? How many of you know, if you really believe God's God, and if you really believe He's all-knowing, all ever-present, how many of you know it's kind of hard to fool the old guy? Yet we try to do it all the time, don't we? We talk differently when we want to talk to God. God knows how you talk. God knows your voice. He's numbered the hairs on your head, or the lack of hair on your head. He's numbered them. Okay, He knows where they went. All right? I don't know if in the resurrection they all come back. I don't know. I can't promise you anything. All right? But He knows all those things. So don't fake it with God. He knows you. Be real with God. It's okay, God. I've been stinking it up right here. I need some help. I'm gonna stop worrying. This is what's bothering me. This is what I need help with. This is how I... Don't worry. Instead, pray about everything. And look what the rest of it says. It says, tell God what you need. Don't worry. Shift your focus. Come to God in prayer and you tell God what you need. What do you need this morning? What's going on in your life? What are the things you're having to navigate? Oh, God, deliver us from my family. No, that's not it. Even though there could be elements of it, all right? Tell God what you need. Tell God what, because He knows anyway, but you know what? It's interesting. He still tells us to ask. He still tells us to tell Him. You know why? Because He wants you to come to Him. You know why? Because He's your Father. Okay? He wants you around. He sent His Son Jesus to die for you to give you the right to be around. Isn't that wild? If you think about it, that's crazy. The God of the universe who set all this in place actually wants you to come to Him. Actually wants you to come spend time with Him. Not in some religious formality type thing. You know, again, we get this stuff. Everybody knows this is how your hands have got to be when you pray, right? Everybody knows you got to be on your knees. It's got to be for 4.5 hours or it doesn't count. It's got to be painful. It's got to hurt. Because everybody knows anything that has to do with God, bless God, it's hard. Isn't that our picture half the time? God's not that way. God loves you so much. The Prince of Peace died for you to give you peace. He died for you to give you access. The work of righteousness is peace. The effect, quietness, assurance, confidence, security in my life. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And then it ends there in that scripture about being thankful. Be thankful for all He's done. Thankfulness will change a lot of things in your life. When you shift your focus off the things you're worrying about, shift your focus about the things going on, and you begin to thank God for all the different things. Boy, if you'll put yourself in remembrance about stuff, things God's done for you, boy, it'll change your attitude very, very quickly. Sometimes maybe you need to keep a journal. And I'm not a real good journaler person, all right, but maybe you just need to keep a list. Write down stories of all the different things that God's done for you. Boy, God answered this prayer. Boy, God took care of that. And then when you're feeling down or you're struggling, boy, you can get that back out and say, look what God's done. Well, there's an old hymn, Count Your Blessings. You ever heard that hymn? Depending upon how you're raised, you probably sang that hymn. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Man, there's lots of things God's done in our lives that we just simply take for granted. But boy, if you're struggling with something, your worries, trying to fret, anxiety, fear, anxious, you know what? Don't worry. You shift your focus, you pray. You tell God what you need, and then you begin to thank Him. And it's amazing how those things can be lifted. It's amazing how your focus can change, and you can actually feel energized through that. All right, look at the next scripture here, because this keeps going. Now, look at this first sentence here. It says, then you will experience God's peace. Now, again, this is Philippians 4, 6, and now this is verse 7. So we just simply went to the next verse, all right? It says, then you will experience God's peace. When will you, and I put this in parentheses, obviously that's not the Bible, all right? When will you experience God's peace? When will you? When you do what verse 6 said to do. So all that we just said, if I'll just simply do verse 6, I get verse 7. Does that make sense? If I just simply do the previous verse, don't worry, shift your focus, pray about everything. You tell God what you need and you thank Him for all the things He's done in your life. It says very plainly there, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That peace that surpasses all understanding. You may be used to hearing it phrased that way from the King James, New King James. But that peace that it surpasses, exceeds anything that our mind can comprehend. It is greater. It'll guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It guards my heart and it guards my mind in Christ Jesus. You can have a peace that surpasses anything you can comprehend. Man, I've been around people that are in the middle of unbelievable things, navigating unbelievable things, crazy things taking place in their life, and they'll look at you and say, you know what? I know I shouldn't be feeling this way, but I just have such a peace. You know where that peace comes from? It's not from us. It's not from me. It doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from inside them. You know where it came from? It comes from their Heavenly Father. He declared them right, and the Prince of Peace gave them peace. And that peace is for every day. And they can walk. You can walk in peace. Doesn't matter what's going on. You can have just a peace, a contentment. Craziness can be going on around you. How many of you know life can bring craziness to your door? Isn't that true? Craziness can be going on around you. I can still experience peace. Why? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He purchased that peace for me so I can live in it. So if I'll simply do what verse 6 says, I get verse 7. I'll experience God's peace. How do I do that even further? Now, if you go to the next scripture, this is just, we just keep going in Philippians 4. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn to Philippians 4. You would see 6 and 7, which we just read, and then this is 8 and 9. So it's just one section there. You can underline that, highlight that, and stuff. Look what it says. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about these things. Think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned, received from me, everything you heard from me, and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. What does it say at the very beginning of that verse? It says, fix your thoughts. How do you not worry? You fix your thoughts. I literally take the time to grab a hold of those things. How many of you know you can't keep thoughts from zinging around in your head? Because they come sometimes, don't they? And again, it can be related to anything. It just simply can just come, seemingly out of nowhere. It can be related to things you hear, see, experience, whatever. And man, those thoughts can just start running around. Oh man, what are we going to do about this? What about that? How am I going to pay for that? How's it going to? I can't believe that. What am I going to do? Blah, blah. And before long, whoo, you got a runaway train inside your head. You ever felt that way? You ever been around large draft horses before? Like Belgians and other things? I mean, large, big ones. I'm not talking about average horse, draft horses. Just picture, you know, like the Budweiser horses and things. They're massive animals. Have you ever been close to some of those draft horses? They're huge. Okay, and you can have a team of those things. And I'll tell you this, okay, they put the blinders on and stuff like this. But I tell you what, if the group wants to go somewhere, they're going. They're going. That guy can be yanking on those reins all he wants to, buddy. But if all those animals decided to go somewhere, they're massive animals and they're going. They're going to take off. You know what? Your mind, your thoughts can be exactly the same way. So the Bible tells us, I've got to fix my thoughts. Why do they put the blinders on those animals? To keep them focused. They don't want them to hear all those things that's going on over here. Don't want them to get startled. Why? Because if those big old things get going, baby, it's hard to control. Your mind is exactly the same. So what have I got to do? I've got to fix my thoughts. Proverbs 4 tells us, it says, don't look to the left, don't look to the right. Keep your eyes fixed straight before you. Don't get distracted by what's over here. I mean, you know, you can hear stuff over here. Ooh, it's easy, man. That starts getting your attention. And before long, where'd my focus go? It's over here. And it starts just zinging around. I got a bunch of wild animals running around in here. So I have to go, nope. I choose to fix my thoughts. Isaiah 26, I didn't put this in there, but Isaiah 26 tells us, thou wilt keep him in, and this is King James. I'm just used to quoting from the King James. But thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed or fixed or settled on him. God will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Fixed on Him. Now that's a choice that I make. I have to decide to fix my thoughts. I have to decide, no, I'm not going to do that. And man, it's easy to let those things run in, and there you hear stuff, see stuff, and those things are going to run. No, wait a minute. I'm going to fix my thoughts on Him. I'm not going to get distracted. I'm not going to get pulled to the right, pulled to the left. I'm going to keep my mind stayed on God. You know what I'm going to experience? I'm going to experience the Prince of Peace. Not just at Christmas, not just at this time of year when we sing the carols and, whoa, it's all nice and the pretty colors and the decorations and, woo, it's wonderful. And then 2 weeks later, you're just depressed as I don't know what. Because you put the decorations away, you do all this other stuff, and how many of you know life kicks in all over again, doesn't it? You know what? Life's meant to be a whole lot more than you just simply going through a routine, waiting to retire so you can die. Woo, that's encouraging, isn't it? Aren't you glad you came for that today? You know, that's how many people live their life. They go through the I hate my job. I hate it. This stinks. I hate it. Every month, I hate it. I'm just holding out for retirement. Then you retire. And you know what? If you haven't figured this out yet, but you know, many, many people die real pretty quickly after they retire. You know why? Because there's no purpose. Well, God invented us. I'm not sure where invented came from. God invented us. God created us for a whole lot more. Isn't that be wild? God just, I think I'll invent something today. Man, no. God created us for a whole lot more than that. He created you a whole lot more than just simply to go through the motions, to go through, this is horrible. Blah, blah, blah. But boy, if you're not careful, how many of you know, especially those of you a little bit older, you can slip into that real quick, can't you? And you're just going through the motions. And man, you're worrying about stuff, consumed with stuff. No, wait a second. I'm not going to do that. The Prince of Peace has a whole lot more for me than that. The Prince of Peace has more for me than just simply to be consumed with worry, to consume with these things, to be bothered about. No, I'm going to fix my thought. I'm going to keep my mind stayed on Him. And you know what? I can defeat those things, and I can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. I can have a security and a peace that goes beyond even my ability. You know what? I can't figure it out, but there's a peace that passes that. I should be worried, but I'm not. Why aren't you? Because there's a Prince of Peace. That's not going to bother me. Why is it? Because I'm going to keep my mind fixed on Him and the Prince of Peace. Now, those are decisions and choices that you'll have to make. Go to the next slide. Look at the next one. Just to kind of recap this as we wrap this up today. And we've touched on all these things, so I'm just going to go through them here. The first thing, again, don't allow worry. Don't allow worry to infiltrate my life, my thoughts, etc. Don't allow those things to infiltrate you. Don't allow those things to come in to consume you. And man, they'll come if you let them. So what have I got to do? I got to fix my thoughts. I got to keep my mind focused on Him. I'm going to do that by my relationship with the Word of God, spending time with Him and keeping my focus. Again, that's all about you shifting your focus. No, because these things will try to pull you. Voices will try to yank you all kinds of different directions, all kinds of stuff going on. You know what? There's a scripture, Psalm 91. It talks about 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. That's in Psalm 91. If you've never read Psalm 91, if you don't do anything else today, write it on your hand. If you ain't got anything to write on, Psalm 91, go home and mark that in your Bible. Psalm 91. It's all about God's protection for us. It's an awesome thing. Okay? But that's in Psalm 91. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near me. Now think about that just for a second, because it gives you a little bit of idea about God's perspective. 1,000 people drop dead at my side. He didn't say in another county. It said at my side. And 10,000 people at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Okay, that's pretty close to me. What do you think? If there's 1,000 people that drop dead right here, and there's 10,000 that drop dead right there, and God says, it's not going to come near you. God's perspective is different than ours. Because as far as God's concerned, did it hit you? Then it might as well have been a million miles away, correct? Didn't touch you? Did it phase you? Nope. You know why? Because I got to keep my eyes fixed. Because how many of you know, if stuff was happening over here, it'd sure be easy to start doing this, wouldn't it? And it'd be easy over here to start doing this, to get pulled. God's perspective is different. Stuff can be going all around you. And you know what God says? That's not going to come near you. That's not going to impact you. But I have got to make the choice to fix my thoughts. I have got to make the choice. God's perspective is going to be my perspective. This stuff may be going on all around me, but my perspective is God's. And God said it's not going to come near me, and that's what I'm going to hold fast to. Amen? So I'm not going to worry. The next thing there, bring all my needs, requests, desires, situations, circumstances to my Heavenly Father. God is your Heavenly Father. He's not some distant God, distant whatever out there. He's your Heavenly Father. He wants you to come to Him. All right? He died, Jesus died to grant you access. Again, we've touched on that already. Declared right, access to God. Religion kicks in, our wrong thinking kicks in, and we actually, rather than coming to God, we actually tend to withdraw from Him. We get into situations, we get into things, we feel tempted, we get into temptation, we get into other stuff, and rather than coming to the one who can help us, we actually tend to back up. You know why? Because we feel guilty about being tempted. Everybody in the room would say yes to that if you really thought about it. Okay, we all feel guilty. You feel guilty because you got tempted. You know, temptation is not a sin. Being tempted is not a sin. Everybody's tempted. Jesus was tempted. The Bible says so. And Jesus didn't sin. So think about that just for a second, okay? If being tempted was a sin, then Jesus sinned. And if Jesus sinned, we should have stayed home today. Because salvation is not, there is no salvation. He is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points, just like us as people. Jesus was tempted. Remember, He became a man and dwelt among us, the Bible says. He's 100% God, yet He's 100% man. So He's 100% man with same feelings, same thoughts, same everything. So Jesus was tempted in all points just like we were, yet without sin, the Bible says. Again, He's referred to as the sinless sacrifice who redeemed us. So if being tempted was sin, then Jesus sinned, which of course He didn't. So the key is what? Key is the same thing we've talked about, worry or whatever. It's when those things come, you know what I should be doing? Hebrews tells us, says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. When we have a time of need, what does He tell us to do? Come boldly to God. Why can I come boldly to God? Because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, purchased right standing for me. I have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have access to God. Jesus purchased. So if I feel tempted, I feel drawn, you know what I need to do? I need to go, you know what? I'm going to come to God and I need to walk. Again, I hope you picture stuff. You know, don't just read the Bible. Picture stuff in your head. Use your imagination. God gave it to you. You know your imagination's from God. You know that? Look at kids. You ever been around kids? Kids have unbelievable imaginations, don't they? I mean, you spend 80 kabazillion dollars on toys. What do they want to play with? The stinking box. Right? You ever had that? I mean, I remember when our kids were younger, we ended up buying a new refrigerator. They played with that refrigerator box until it finally fell apart. Okay? They could care less. All the toys in the world. What do they want to do? I want the box. Can I play with the box? Okay? But what is that? Man, they've got a whole movie going on in their head, do they not? You get kids in a room and you just turn those, man, they've got all kinds of stuff. That God gave that to you. So use it. You read the Bible, use that. You need to picture this. God tells you to come boldly to the throne of grace. You need to just think, okay, this is me. I'm just going to come walking up to God. You know why? Because He gave me the right to. I'm just going to say, God, how's it going today? I'm about to stink it up. I need some help. Stupid is about to come out of my mouth. You know, God knows you. So I would encourage you to drop all the religious stuff that we tend to get sucked into and recognize God already knows me. Do you think He already knows you're being tempted? Do you think He already knows you're struggling with something? So you might as well just come and say, God, I'm really struggling with this. I need some help today. You know what the Bible says there? In Hebrews 4, it says He's going to give you the grace to help in your time of need. Because I have a high priest, Jesus is referred to as our high priest, seated in the heavens who knows exactly what it's like to be me. You know why? Because He became a person. He became a man, just like me. He knows exactly what it's like. So He's able to give us the grace to help in our time of need. Woo, that's how you can bring all these things. I bring all my needs, all my requests, all my desires to my Heavenly Father. Why? Because He knows the things I need. And I can come to Him and say, God, I need help with this. I need this. Last thing here, then we'll close. It says, live a life of thankfulness, maintaining an attitude of gratefulness for all God has done. putting yourself in remembrance. I really encourage you. You know what? Thankfulness is something that's disappearing in our world today. All right, and I really encourage you, whether it's in your children, even just simply yourself, boy, maintain an attitude of gratefulness. Maintain an attitude of thankfulness. We should constantly be, you ought to get up every day. If it's 30 seconds, that's okay. It doesn't have to be hours. Again, that's where sometimes religion, sometimes even church steals this from us. It literally can be 30 seconds where just simply get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for this day. If that's all you start with, woo, awesome. But you'll be surprised if you'll do that consistently. The God, thank you for this day will change it to God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all that you've done in my life. Thank you for, blah, and you just start naming stuff. Thank you for moving among my family. Thank you for blessing and prospering me. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you for helping me navigate life, for giving me wisdom, blah, blah, blah. And you can go on and on and on. You'll find out if you'll do that consistently, you'll have to stop yourself because you got to go do something. Doesn't mean I got to stop being thankful, though, because then I can be thankful as I drive the car. You better be thanking as you drive the car, right? Especially in holiday traffic. How many of you get into holiday traffic? And I promise you, the things come out of your mouth is not joy to the world. Isn't that right? People are giving you all kinds of signals. And you're like, Merry Christmas to you too, bud. And what do you got to do? You got to get back home and go, oh God, please, is there a way we can get around without driving? I want to know what happened to the space cars, because I know when I was a kid, by the time we were supposed to be this age, we were supposed to be flying and stuff. They really let us down on that one. But anyway, God knows you. Keep an attitude of thankfulness. Just simply get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for this wonderful day. And you'll be amazed in your own life as you go forth from there how to change. So once again, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and maintain an attitude of thankfulness. You know what you can have? You can have the Prince of Peace every day. You can have peace in your life every day. You can have peace as you navigate the rest of the holidays. You can have peace when real life kicks back in, whenever that is for you. You can have peace all the way through 2013. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, I thank you for your people here today. And Lord, for each one of them, they themselves, their families, their loved ones, Father, I speak your peace over them. I pray that each one of us, oh God, will walk in your peace, the Prince of Peace, each and every day. Father, I thank you for helping us navigate life in a way that we'll live free from worry, free from anxiety, telling you what we need, remaining thankful. And Father, thank you so much for peace in our homes, peace in our businesses, peace in our lives. Thank you for blessing and prospering each one in this room, Father. We bless you and we thank you for it. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment. If you're here today, you say, Pastor Steve, I hear you talking about this peace and you're talking about how God died for me and all this, but I'm not real sure about all that. I don't really know where I stand with God. I'm not sure. I know I'm not experiencing a whole lot of peace. I want to encourage you with something. I've already said it before. The Prince of Peace is here for you today. Please don't leave without experiencing that peace. You can leave today knowing that the Prince of Peace is a part of your life. And you can experience peace like you've never imagined before. Doesn't mean every circumstance and situation in your life will change overnight. But I promise you, the Prince of Peace will show up and he'll help you navigate life. And you can navigate life in a peaceful way from here on out. If you're unsure about where you stand in your relationship with God, maybe you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, I want to encourage you, please don't leave without doing that. And you can experience, like I said, the Prince of Peace each and every day. If you're here today, and you say, Pastor Steve, I want to do that. I want to make sure I have a right relationship with God. I don't want to leave not knowing. Simple process. Right there at your seat, all I'll do is ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to single you out any other way. I'm not going to have you come forward. I'm not going to have you stand. We'll pray for you right where you're seated. In fact, the whole church, the whole congregation will pray this prayer out loud together with you right where you're seated. So I encourage you, if you're unsure about where you stand in your relationship with God, please don't leave not knowing. And you can go through this holiday season, and again, like I said, the rest of the year, knowing the Prince of Peace in a very intimate way. If you'd say, that's me, Pastor Steve, I want to be included in that prayer. Every head bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, just simply raise your hand right where you're seated, and we'll pray for you right where you're seated. Thank you so much. I see your hand. You can put it back down. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you so much. I see your hand. Thank you so much. You can put your hand back down. I see you, sir. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Thank you so much. I see your hand back there. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these that raised their hand? Anybody else? Not going to drag this out. Going to look one more time. Please don't leave. If you're unsure, please don't leave without knowing where you stand in that relationship with God and experiencing the Prince of Peace in your life. Last time, anybody else want to join these that raised their hand? All right, let's all pray this prayer out loud together with them. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me, to be buried for me, to be raised from the dead for me. Lord Jesus, I open the door of my heart, and I receive you now as my Savior, as my Lord. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for changing my life from the inside out. And I'll follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.